Jesus. And if there you see it, Mary's heart of devotion towards Jesus, marked by sacrifice, marked by faith and courage. Judas's heart of devotion towards Jesus, marked by deception, marked by greed. First of all, then, Mary's heart of devotion towards Jesus. Now, Mark mentions that this meal took place at the home of Simon the leper. We don't know who Simon is. It's possible that Simon was the father of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and that would make sense if that's the case, because Martha is serving the meal, so it would have happened in her house, or it's possible that Simon was a friend of Lazarus. What we do know is that Simon had been a leper long enough that he had developed this nickname, and so everybody knew which Simon you were talking about. Oh, it's the Simon who was a leper, but he is not a leper now. Most likely Jesus had healed him, and he is having this meal as showing his gratitude for being healed. And I say that he's not a leper now because if he was a leper now, he wouldn't be able to have this meal because he would have been unclean and they wouldn't have been able to have this meal in his house. So the first characteristic that I see of Mary's heart of devotion is that it was marked by sacrifice. Mark says that Mary comes with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, and Mark says that it was very costly. John's Gospel tells us that it was actually a pound worth of nard, and I looked up and I found out that a pound worth of nard was about 12 ounces of nard, so we're talking just a little bit bigger than one of those small water glass or water bottles full of nard. And according to verse 5, we are told that it could have been sold for at least 300 denarii. Now, a denarii back then, for those of you who don't know, that was equivalent to a day's wage. So that means that this offering could have been sold for over a year's worth of wages. Now, so you do the math. You think of, okay, what do you earn in a year? What is your allowance if you're a child? How much do you earn in a year? And for those of you who don't get taxes taken out of your, for those of you who do get taxes taken out, figure out what it was before the taxes are taken out or any other expenses, and that's what Mary gave. We could probably add 10% to that because we're told that it could have been sold for at least a year's worth of wages. And so what we see that what Mary is offering certainly cost her a ton. Now, I'm just guessing here as I look around the room and as I know you, I don't think there's any one of us that could live a month without our salary. And we shouldn't get this idea that, well, Mary was just wealthy, and so therefore this didn't really hurt her anything. Most likely, this was an inheritance that Mary had. Mary would be dependent on this in the future. The New Testament never indicates that Martha or Mary were married. And it's very possible that they were, older, and as a result of being older, that they maybe were past that desirable age back then for getting married. And so this is what Mary would, this inheritance would be what Mary would be depending on one day. She would need to sell it and to live off of the proceeds. And so this was not just some kind of 10% tithe, should we say, on Mary's part. This was a sacrifice on Mary's part. And Mary didn't hold any of it back. Her plan was to use it all, and we know her plan was to use it all because she came and she broke the neck of this jar on Jesus and pours it all out on Jesus, including John tells us that she actually poured, there was enough of it that she actually poured it on to Jesus' feet. Now, what is very interesting is Mark likes to highlight the sacrifices of people who we would think would be the last people be willing to sacrifice for Jesus. People back in that day and age. And so Mark highlights this woman, this Mary, and he had just highlighted a couple of chapters before, he highlighted a widow who was willing to sacrifice and to give her two coins to Jesus. And so here it is that Jesus highlights both of these women, and they sacrifice it all. So we see that Mary's heart of devotion towards Jesus was marked by sacrifice. The second characteristic that we see here is that it was marked by faith and courage. Now, it's very easy for us to see that it was marked by sacrifice. And maybe you didn't think about the courage and the faith to do it. But it was socially inappropriate for Mary to be in the room where she was. In that day and age, when the men were having a banquet, the women didn't come in. And Martha was only there because Martha was serving. And John doesn't tell us that Martha and Mary were serving. John tells us that Martha was serving, not Mary. And so Mary didn't belong in that room. And so Mary, going into that room, knew that she was breaking, should we say, some social taboos in going in there. But Mary had a reason for going in that room. And her reason for going in that was that she wanted to express her devotion to Jesus. And so she knew that going in that room, although it took courage, she knew that it would be worth it and she would receive her acceptance from Jesus. And I, you know, as I think about that, it would be the same type of thing as if you had a, you know, First Friday coffee. It's the women's First Friday coffee. And if a bunch of men crash the First Friday coffee, there might be a few chuckles at first, but it'd be like, what are you guys doing here? This is the First Friday coffee for women. And so Mary knew that she was breaking some social taboos. But if indeed Simon was her father, it also, Mary demonstrated courage because she knew that this inheritance that she had received from her father, that he would be looking, what are you doing with the inheritance that I gave to you? This is for you. Why would you waste it on Jesus? And so this took real faith and courage for her to step outside of the social norm, should we say, knowing full well that as she walked into that room, she would be she would receive immediate attention and disapproval by the men in that room. But she had her eyes on one man in that room, and that room, and that name was Jesus. Sadly, there was a harsh response by the disciples, and it just shows the hardness of their own heart and the slowness of their own importance in seeing the need to be fully devoted to Jesus. And if we think about it, really, no one in that room thought that Mary was normal that day. The disciples didn't think that Mary was normal because of her. What they saw was overkill in her devotion to Jesus. But Jesus didn't think she was normal either because of her sacrificial devotion to him. And that's why Jesus said that whenever the gospel will be proclaimed in the future, it will be We will remember her sacrifice because at the heart of true discipleship is a sacrificial love for Jesus. And I don't know about for yourself if there is something that Jesus has been impressing upon your mind and your heart, something that you need to be willing to lay down to him because of your love for him. For us in America, it's probably not a bottle of perfume that is the hardest thing for us to sacrifice. In fact, for probably most of us, it's not even money that is the hardest thing for us to sacrifice. Probably for most of us in this room, it's our time. It's our willingness to lay down our time and to go and to be a blessing to someone else in the church who might need it. It's a willing to be a blessing to develop a relationship with somebody who's maybe lost, a coworker or someone in our neighbor who, maybe relating to them is just the most difficult thing that we can think of. Maybe it's just plain old taking the sacrifice of putting down the social media and picking up our Bible instead. And maybe it's a willingness to say, if you're under 18, maybe it's a willingness to say, you know what? I'm going to stop arguing with my parents. And I'm going to recognize that God put them in my life, and I'm going to seek with his help to obey him. And Mary wants us to recognize that at the heart of true discipleship is a sacrificial love for Jesus that will be marked by love, by sacrifice, and by faith and courage. Well, let's turn and look at Judas and see the characteristic of his heart that shows his devotion towards Jesus. And I see two main characteristics here that identify what Judas' heart of devotion towards Jesus was. And the first one, that it was marked by deception. We learn from actually John's Gospel, John chapter 12, verse 5, that it was actually Judas is the one who actually brought up the idea that Mark mentions here in verse 4 and 5, when Mark says that there were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was this ointment wasted? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." John actually tells us that although a bunch of them were saying it to themselves, Judas actually said it out loud. Judas was the one that actually said, "This is a waste. Why don't we give it to the poor?" Now, that's a great idea. And the Bible, throughout the whole Old Testament, it is full of command after command for God's people to be aware of the poor and to seek to minister to the poor. And Jesus' comment here in verse 7, that you will always have the poor with you, we should not take that as a kind of as a harsh comment from Jesus. Jesus is simply quoting Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11. And when Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 11, he's just saying the reality of sin in this world is either you'll have poor because of the oppression of man, or you will have poor because of the sinful choices that people make themselves. And God's people are always to be ready and willing to reach out and to help them. And so at first glance here, what Judas seems to offer, hey, wow, this guy he's really sold out for Jesus. But John tells us that his heart was deceptive. And John tells us in verse 6 of chapter 12 that Judas had no heart at all for the poor. His heart for poor was cloaked in deception. And John also tells us later in chapter 13 that Judas was the treasurer for the group. He held all the money. And one of the things that he liked to do was he liked to dip his hand into the treasure and pull out some cash. And dip his hand in and pull out the cash. And so John probably saw this. Wow. Look at all this cash. 300 denarii. I can pull out 30 pieces and nobody would even know about it. And so it's very interesting that Mark here identifies, and John identifies the fact that Judas's heart, although on the outside it sounded like he was all for taking care of the poor, inside there was no desire for taking care of the poor at all. The second characteristic of Judas's heart of devotion towards Jesus was marked by greed. In chapter 14 of Mark, verses 1 and 2, we are told that the religious leaders, that they were wanting to find some way of putting Jesus to death. And they were looking to do it, even if they had to do it by stealth, kind of some kind of CIA type thing. They were looking for some way to do it. But their fear of doing it during the Passover was they knew that Jesus was a popular teacher. And they knew that there was hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem, and many of them came from Galilee, where Jesus was very popular, very well known, and they didn't want to do it because they were afraid that a riot might happen. And so they had given up totally on getting a hold of Jesus during the Passover festival. But obviously it was on God's timetable, because Jesus is our Passover lamb. And so they were very excited when Judas came to them with an offer to betray them. And Matthew actually records that it was Judas that went up to them and actually just said, "Okay, what will you give me if I offer to betray Jesus to you?" And Matthew tells us that the amount that they offered him was 30 pieces of silver, or what the Old Testament says was the same price that a slave was valued at. And you can see Exodus 31, 32. And I think it's very interesting that this 30 pieces of silver in that day was worth about 5 to 6 weeks worth of work. And I just thought, interestingly, Mary gave away about 50 weeks worth of work to Jesus in her sacrificial devotion. And if Judas was thinking, "Well, I can just get 10% of that," then here was 30 pieces of silver for Judas. And one of the things that we need to recognize here is that Judas was one of the least expected people that was ever would have thought to have gone down this path. Judas was trusted with the money box because they thought, here is a man of outstanding character. Here is a man who has a heart for the poor and everything, and we can trust him. And as we look at this story, I'm reminded of the fact that Paul gives a warning in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that he warns the rich in particular, that we can fall into a temptation because of the desire to get rich, and many foolish and harmful desires which can plunge a person into ruin and destruction because of the love of money. And here's Judas. And we are told the only motive we are told that encouraged Judas to be willing to betray Jesus is connected here to his desire to get 30 pieces of silver. And yet here is Judas who sat under Jesus. He saw every miracle that Jesus did. He saw demons casted out. He saw the sick healed. He probably would have seen Simon healed. He saw the feeding of the 5,000. He was with Jesus 24/7. He heard the Sermon on the Mount. He heard Jesus' warning in the Sermon on the Mount that you can't serve two masters. And if you try to serve two masters, you'll end up serving the one. And yet, here is Judas, led astray by his devotion to greed. And it's a warning to us that as believers that we need to take heed to, and Paul's warning in 1 Timothy 6. And what I find very interesting about this whole thing is the backdrop and the timing of when it happened. The very beginning of chapter 14, Mark tells us it was 2 days before the Passover. If we remember, the Passover was the time when God's people celebrated the fact that God had passed over his people, and instead of slaying the firstborn because of the blood, didn't slay the firstborn, but slayed the firstborn in all of Egypt. And so here we have two people, Mary, whose heart of gratitude for the fact that she had received mercy from God and was willing to offer her sacrifice of love to Jesus in pouring out this ointment. And here was Judas, whose heart of devotion showed that he had never been impacted by God's mercy at all. And it's very easy for us as believers today who've grown up in this church, or in any church for that matter, that when it comes time for a sacrifice, laying down things that God calls us to lay down, that we can end up having kind of a chip, shall we say, on our shoulders. And we look upon it as a sacrifice rather than looking upon it as a response to God's mercy in our life. Even though it is a sacrifice, as Mary did, she looked upon it as a response of God's mercy at work in her life, and she was happy to lay down this sacrifice, even though it took great courage and faith. May God give us his mercy and grace to do the same. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that that you offered the greatest sacrifice, and that was that you sent your Son to be the sacrifice for us, to instead of us bearing your wrath for our sin, you poured out your wrath on Jesus. And as a result of that, and as a result of trusting in that, we can respond back sacrificially to you with our love and our acts of courage and faith. So I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.